Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next 3 hours, you're in Finland. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, and today is the first day of the rest of the Andy Finn Show. So, a number of interesting things happened on September 22nd, I have learned. We're going to cover a bunch of things tonight. It's been quite a week, as usual. In addition to Hurricane Katrina, we now have lovely Rita, which is expected to make landfall in Texas, thank goodness not New Orleans, late Friday, or more likely early Saturday morning. We've still got the infighting and the blame game over Katrina, and a lot of political give and take about, A, how we're going to pay for this, what we're going to pay for, who's going to get the money, who's going to get the contracts. That's what happens when you got $200 billion to throw around. And the Judiciary Committee of the Senate voted today 13-5 to confirm John Roberts. We'll be talking about Roberts. We're also going to talk about this new draft document that's been up on a website until recently, a Pentagon website. They're looking at extending Bush's doctrine of preemption to a nuclear doctrine of preemption, which is sillier than the original doctrine of preemption. Also, I'm going to talk to you about a tall tales contest that I was in and that I won. I'm going to give you my tale here tonight. We've got the Bushism of the week. And our featured right-wing talk show host this week is Bill O'Reilly. He said some pretty strange things this week on both Bill Clinton and on being monitored by the, he doesn't call them weasels. What does he call them? Not vermin, but he doesn't think much of people that monitor his show to try and explain to people where he's wrong. In any case, on September 22nd, a number of things happened in sports. This is weird, because I wouldn't normally talk about the fact that in 1973, Al Bumbry of the Baltimore Orioles, by the way, I was following the Orioles in 73, he hit three triples in one game against the Milwaukee Brewers. I assume it was one game. I suppose it could have been a doubleheader. But the weirdest thing is, in 1927, the Earl Combs of the Yankees hit three triples on this day. I mean, I'll bet not more than five players in the history of baseball have ever hit three triples in a game, or even in a day, if there were two games in either of these days, either of these players' records. But the idea they happen on the same day is just bizarre. Anyway, we're covering that because I'm going to start with some light topics before we get to the heavy stuff, and it's in part sports, but let me start with the DC Panda. So, as folks know that are paying attention, the National Zoo, which has on loan from China a pair of giant pandas, had a little baby giant panda about 10 weeks ago, and we talked about it on the show. They described it when it was born as it was the size of a stick of butter. Of course, these animals are like 1,000 pounds, and so it weighed, I don't know what it weighed at the time. It weighs 10 pounds now. I think it weighed like 0.5 pound. And so it was in danger, I suppose, of being crushed. But it is a wiry little guy now. He's starting to fight a little bit and very healthy. And the pictures are just cute as the dickens. So if you want to see the giant panda, you can go out to the Washington Zoo's, the National Zoo's website. They have a panda cam in there. And while he doesn't necessarily appear on camera all the time, if you watch long enough, you can see the little guy. Then in the world of sports, the Redskins had this huge win Monday night. I so wish Mike was here tonight. Mike is ill and is taking a night off, but I would love for him to be here to talk about this, in part because I didn't see the game, but the Redskins in the last 5 minutes of the game were down with 5 minutes and, well, let's say 6 minutes left. They were down 13-0, and it was a lousy game. They weren't putting much offense up. Dallas wasn't doing much. This is against their arch rivals, Dallas, in Dallas. And It wasn't looking good. In fact, I don't watch all of the Redskin games, but I saw part of the first half, and I saw part of the second half, and I turned it off with about 8 minutes left, thinking this game's going nowhere. And son of a gun, if the Redskins didn't score twice in essentially 51 seconds, no, maybe it was 71 seconds, a little more than a minute, they scored two touchdowns, struck for two touchdown passes with, like I say, within a minute and a half of each other, and took the lead 14-13, hung on and won the game, stunned the Cowboys. And, of course, Redskin fans all over the world, all over the country, of all the teams they dislike, the Cowboys are probably number one. And so a sweet victory for the Redskins. And then second item of sports for D.C., Barry Bonds is back, and the San Francisco Giants are in town this week. They have three games, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and tonight down at RFK Stadium. And Barry Bonds, who's been out all the season, just got back into the lineup a week ago. And so he made his debut in Washington in his whole career. The man's 41, and it's the first time, of course, he's played baseball in Washington, as is true for most of these guys this year. And he hit a home run and helped win the game the first night. He hit a home run last night, and the Giants won a one-run game. And so Bonds is back, and the Washington Nationals are essentially out of the playoff picture. I haven't believed all along. If you're three or four games out of the wild card standings, and you got three teams ahead of you, which they've had here all along, it's going to be very difficult for you to get hot enough to beat out three other teams for that last playoff spot. So I haven't believed they were going to make the playoffs for some time. But they've been holding out hope. They are not mathematically eliminated yet, but most people are seeing the handwriting on the wall and not talking anymore about the chances of the Washington Nationals making the baseball playoffs this year. And the third item in sports is that the President's Cup started today at Robert Trent Jones Golf Course right here in Northern Virginia. And the President's Cup is, oh, it's like the Ryder Cup, but it's held in alternate years, and it's not U.S. golfers against European golfers, which is what the Ryder Cup is. It's U.S. against, I think, the rest of the world. In any case, the last one was played in South Africa, I believe, and was settled in a draw because it tied and both sides played well, so the captains were magnanimous about it and said, you know, let's not have anybody go home a loser this time. So they're billing this as unfinished business. But Tiger Woods is in town. Vijay Singh, the number two player in the world, is in town. All the big names on both the American side and the international side are, oh, about 10 miles from where I live, playing golf all weekend. So I don't know that I'll get up there to that, but if I'm smart, I should. I should see about that one. I have never seen a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup. I've seen three of the four golf majors. The toughest ticket in golf majors, by the way, is the Masters down in Augusta, Georgia, which I'm not that far from. But I've seen the U.S. Open live. That was in New Jersey at Baltusrol in 1993. I've seen the PGA Championship live. That was in Valhalla in What year would that have been? I don't even remember. 1990. And then, oh no, the U.S. Open was 83 at Baltusrol. No, that's not right. I'm getting them confused. It was 93 because it was the British Open I saw in England at the Royal Birkdale Club in 1983. But the Masters is the tough one to get to, so I haven't been there yet. I've still got to get tickies for that one. And then the last thing I want to cover on this general category of popular culture news, I guess I'll call it. Oh, I hate to call this one popular culture because it is the death of Simon Wiesenthal. He died this week at age 96. He's the well-known Nazi hunter. After World War II, he gave up his previous career and went on to hunt down Nazis who had escaped Nazi Germany. Wiesenthal himself had been in more than one of the concentration camps and survived it. And he had 87 members of his family die in concentration camps. So he was highly motivated, and I think the most famous was Adolf Eichmann. They found him in Brazil and took him back to Israel for trial, and I believe, I know he was executed, I want to say he was hung. But he brought over 1,000 Nazi war criminals to justice. And so we've lost Simon Wiesenthal, although there is a Simon Wiesenthal Foundation in his name, and of course there are Holocaust museums in both the U.S. and in Israel. Yad Vashem is in Israel. I've seen that. And there's a very nice one that opened a few years ago here in D.C. I say very nice. It's very depressing. But it's important because, and Wiesenthal's work was important, because there are people out there who are Holocaust deniers, want to claim that it never happened. And as time goes on, there'll be more naysayers that will claim that it was exaggerated or whatever. So it's good that these records have been laid down. He also was instrumental in seeing that records were kept, that statements were taken and diaries and biographies or firsthand accounts were written up by people who were in the camp, because we're losing those folks fast. There are very few alive now. He was in the camps, and he just died at age 96. And so that's something that Steven Spielberg has had a hand in, too. After he made the movie Schindler's List, he had met many Holocaust victims and survivors in the making of that movie, and he funded a project to do, I don't know if it's audio or audio and video recordings of Holocaust survivors, to have them tell their tales and get it down for posterity. And so that's in place, and Simon Wiesenthal's work won't be forgotten. And when we come back, we are going to move from these issues to politics. We're going to start with John Roberts. The Senate voted today to, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted today, and they are now going to let Roberts go to the full Senate. And when we come back, we'll talk about that.
One, two, three. I met her in a bar, naturally. And naturally she wanted to dance.